road.
Call to order a regular assembly meeting in the city of Girl, Wrangell, Alaska, March 22nd, 2016, at 7 p.m. Pledge of allegiance this evening will be led by Assembly Member Steve Prazunka, after which the invocation is to be given by Nettie Kovalt of the Presbyterian Church.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please join me in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we can come here openly and peacefully and meet and do the work there is for the city to do. Help us to remember those, especially tonight in Belgium and other places around the world, that this is a, they can't even comprehend this kind of openness and peacefulness. Be with all those who are here who to bring forth ideas and to make rulings, and that all of it be done in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. We do have one proclamation this evening. It's the Health Fair Week. Thank you. Whereas the Wrangell Health Fair promotes health awareness throughout the community by educating people about wellness and motivating them to translate health and knowledge into action. And whereas the Wrangell Health Fair has served Wrangellites for 20 years by offering health screenings, health education, and promotion. And whereas the Wrangell Health Fair, with support from many local merchants and over 300 volunteers annually who contribute to Wrangell's well-being, and whereas through their combined efforts to provide the health fair to all, individual Wrangell residents have the opportunity to improve their health practices and learn about existing health services. Now, therefore, I, Mayor David L. Jack, do hereby proclaim the week of March 28th to April 2nd, 2016, as Health Fair Week in Wrangell, and urge all our citizens to take advantage of this worthwhile program. If Mr. Rang or Chris Reeve would come forward, accept this proclamation, please.
You want to talk to the man in charge or the woman who knows what's going on?
Thank you very much.
Good job, Chris.
Okay, roll call, please.
Assembly members Blake?
Here.
Prasanka?
Here.
Rennie?
Here.
Decker?
Here.
Howell?
Here.
Mitchell? Yes,
yeah. Here.
And Mayor Jack?
Here. Amendments to the agenda. Does anyone have any amendments? Conflict of interest. Does anyone have a conflict of interest or any item on the agenda? Item 5, consent agenda.
Move to approve those agenda items listed under the consent agenda and those marked with an asterisk, item 6A, 7A, and 7B.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Yes.
I just have a question under the Wrangell Medical Center Program Review Report, and I was wondering if I could ask that of Mr. Rang.
Rang's going to go ahead.
Oh, is he? Okay, great.
Later under the Borough Manager's Report.
He's great.
Anything further? Hold, please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Prasanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Let's see, Borough Manager's Report. Mr. Rank?
I'll let him go first.
Good evening. I was kind of a long time since I've been up here to give you guys an update of the hospital. I did want to let you know that our current finances, we're sitting at about $860,000, which is up significantly from the beginning of fiscal year in July, which we only had about $500,000. So trying to improve it. We would have been over $1 million, but unfortunately Medicare decided they want about $200,000 back what they paid us back in December, so we had to give them back some cash. So hopefully we can recover that here shortly. It also means that going from 21 days of cash on hand to having over almost 35 days of We did a long-term care family satisfaction survey back in February, surveyed appropriate residents and family members. About the 15 categories, we scored above the national average in all 15 categories. So I think that says a lot about the crew that takes care of our loved ones in the long-term care side of the building. Hospital surveyor showed up this morning, unannounced. On the hospital side, they survey us every 3 years, and actually they were about 3 months overdue. Long-term care side gets surveyed every year, but the hospital is only every 3 years, so they will be here. They felt comfortable enough that they actually left early today, so that's a good sign that they aren't getting too concerned about what they're finding. So they've actually said that they've pretty pleased so far with the information they're looking at. We are currently working on our personnel policies. The last time it was updated was about 3 years ago. It's our personnel handbook. Doing some updates on that once that group is completed. It consists of about 8 members of different members of the team, frontline staff included. Once that's done, I'll present it to our hospital board for them to sign off on, and then I'll bring it to you guys and ask for your guys' approval on that. As Mayor Jack alluded to, we do have the health fair coming up. So far, we've had 305 people come in for their lab draws. It's a pretty good number. It's a little bit higher than it was last year. As you guys know, in the past, they used to kind of do a one-day shot, and last year they decided they were going to spend over the 4 weeks prior to the health fair, and it's got a lot of positive feedback with that, so we decided to do that again this year. And I am currently working on FY17 budget. Fiscal year for us starts July 1st, and we're in the process of doing. I'm working on that. I should be able to present something to you guys in May. A couple of outstanding items for us is one, Medicaid will be increasing our rates for next year, so we've got a rough idea of what that'll be, but we don't have a hard number yet. And just like with any other industry, our health insurance for our employees is anticipated to go up, and I'm not sure what that is. We're told that it'll probably be around 10%, but it's going to be a little hard on budget once we have a little better figure than that. And we're also kind of finalizing a capital equipment list, kind of get an idea of something that hasn't been done for the past several years. Any questions?
Yeah. Robert, I noticed in, I think it was your report, and I just tried to dig it up here and I couldn't find it, but you're looking at decreasing the number of members of your board from 9 to 7.
Correct.
And you're having difficulty finding board members to serve. You bet. And then as I read down through the policy, I found a little bit of a holdover from years ago. And that holdover is that no one is allowed to participate or run for the hospital board if they have work for anybody who has a contract, even with the hospital. And that was put in place years ago to prevent anybody from AICS ever sitting on the board. Now, I find a strong irony that the head of your board sits on AICS's board, but absolutely nobody who even works for AICS could ever be on the hospital board. And I'd like to encourage you to take a look at that policy, because one of the things that may be happening is there may be so many restrictions, and I know these are not restrictions you put in place. These are all holdovers from bad feelings from years ago. We may want to take a look at those and see if that may just be a bit too restrictive, and even take a look at that irony.
If I could clarify that a little bit, that is under ordinance, it's not hospital policy.
That's our ordinance? I would like us to take that back up.
We're all looking at you.
I'm not sure that it is, but I'll take a look at it.
That was under the policies that it did. Actually, it is not an ordinance, but it was approved by the assembly.
That would be their policy.
The policy was basically adopted by the assembly.
Right. So what Assembly Member Prasanka asking Mr. Rain to take a look at the policies is accurate.
And is that appropriate for me to ask that? Is that
Well, I'm sure.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, we'll keep it figured out.
Thank you.
Anything further?
Thank you.
I do have one further question.
Okay.
The update on the lab equipment, where are we at with that?
It's been ordered. We do have our line of credit with the city at Borough, as you guys had recommended last time. I have not pursued that because I'm waiting until they actually invoice us and actually run their cash, and then I don't have my work with them to develop paperwork for that. With finances being improved, as you know, as they have more like the smaller piece of equipment, I'll just go ahead and pay for it, and so we'll just probably get a line of credit for the more expensive piece. But we're looking at the small piece will probably show up in the next couple of weeks. I didn't want to do anything in health care because you know, the crew's pretty busy with that project. And then we'll give it about a 2-week gap before the other piece of equipment shows up. And that'll probably be towards the end of April. And so at that point in time, we'll have what we have, some more training. So by 1st of May, we should have both pieces in and staff trained and operational.
Great. Thank you.
Just a couple things. Went out there, actually Mark ended up showing up out there at Shoemaker Bay here a few weeks ago and kind of got a plan together out there to improve that. There hadn't been a lot done there in a long time. And so I think Monday they were out there and today they were out there again, and there's some things they're going to do, and hopefully that will improve it. And then not only that, putting some more material on it will allow them to grade a little better. I think the problem before was right down below the surface there was bigger rock, and so if you dug too far down to your, when you get rid of your potholes, then you're pulling up big chunks of rock. So we were going to put some more material on the top of that, so hopefully there's something to actually grade there in the future. They'll roll it, so hopefully it'll last a little longer. So that's something going on. I know there's been issues with that. Assessment notices went out last week, and so people have until April 20th to file an appeal. And we always encourage people that even if they just have a question or a concern or something, or they feel it isn't correct, to file an appeal. And that's part of the assessor's job, is to meet with everybody and discuss it and hopefully resolve the conflict there. But I think that's always a good thing to understand how they do that. I know a lot of people, if they did the work themselves, they think, well, I've only got this much in materials in this, but it's the market value. It's not the actual value they put into it. If there's, you know, free labor they put into it, but what you could sell that to a willing buyer and a willing seller, you know, is kind of what they look at. And they look at other sales in town to get a kind of a ratio of what things are going for and what land's going for and all that. So, but certainly people, we have the forms here and they're welcome to come down and get those if they have any questions at all. And after the doom and gloom of the last hour here, I thought I'd give you some good news. So the communities are required to give certain information to the state assessor's office, and they do a bunch of different things. And one of the things they do is the general obligation debt per capita. In Southeast Alaska, we're at the bottom of the list, $644 per capita. The next one up is $1,500, which is Craig. Haines is $4,500. Petersburg is $3,900. So $644. So when you do go into bad times, if you've got very little debt, which we don't have, we have very little debt. So it's one certainly good thing that you still don't have these big payments when you don't have money to pay it. So it's kind of like if you got a bunch of credit card debt and house payment and this and that, and you have two jobs, all of a sudden one of you loses the job, you're in trouble, but you can manage a little better if you don't have some of that debt. So Wrangell's positioned well for that. Also, they do a taxes paid per capita, or taxes not paid, but from all sources. Wrangell is the lowest taxes per capita paid, about 1,800. Petersburg's about 1,962. Craig's about 1,926. Skagway's 8,764. But that's a little misleading because their whole community is sales tax driven from tourists. So they have a high debt ratio, but a lot of that, they have such a huge amount coming in from sales tax. I think they get over $6 million a year from sales tax. Give you an example, Wrangell gets about $2.5 million. So, and it's a town of about 600 people or so. Mm-hmm. So But anyway, Wrangell is, like I said, the taxes per capita is the lowest, and our debt is the lowest, so there's some good things to smile about, Mark, so. Anyway, that's about it.
Jeff?
Go ahead.
I've got one question, the Bilford cleanup. I was told that's going to run way over. What have you heard of it? Somebody told me they were shipping 300 containers contaminated dirt that could turn into 1,000 containers. Have you got any update on that?
I haven't. I haven't heard this going over. We have a lady flying in tomorrow from DEC who's funding it. And anyway, we're meeting with her. She's going to go out to the site, and then we're meeting with her at 1 o'clock. So I know the state had a, you know, a pot of money there for these kind of things. I don't know how big the pot is, but
I hope it's big.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll find out something tomorrow, but we certainly aren't in a position that we can do anything. So, and at one time last year, I think I reported that EPA was here, the federal folks, and they were going to fund this. And then the Colorado River, the Gold Dam or whatever it was, all that got funneled to there. So I don't know if now that's, there's more money now or they're still dealing with that kind of stuff. But I don't know if the state would, you know, see if they could give some help too. Because at one time they were going to fund it and it was this close from happening. And then, of course, this container dam for the gold mine stuff went into the river, and that was the end of the money. So
what it amounts to is that the state made in it and holding the property for the bill.
They can have the property. And actually, I know with the federal government, I'm sure the state is the same way. When it's all done, if once in the city, whatever we do with it, sell it or subdivide and sell it probably, but whatever money we get, we'll pay back the foreclosure costs, which aren't going to be a whole lot, and then pretty much everything else will go to the state. So, which is fair enough if they're
all $20,000 of it.
Yeah. So, anyway, that's all.
Jeff, I had a question on I think it was a federal lobbyist report a couple weeks ago maybe. They talked about the Essential Air Service. And it sounded like it was kind of questionable whether that would be renewed. And did we write a letter of support, or would that be helpful?
We wrote a letter. Dave signed that. And the lobbyist helped us with the letter. And there's some other concerns and stuff. But yeah, they helped us draft a letter, and Dave signed it, and we shipped it off.
Great. Thank you.
Anything further? Thank you. Clerk's file.
Nothing really to report except for the picture is updated on the website.
Item 10, Mayor Assembly reports and appointments. Do you have any reports for any assembly member?
Me?
Yeah! I went to the hospital board meeting, and one of the things that stood out to me was how well things are going financially, and it seems that the decision to go with TruBridge has worked out quite well, and the CFO is now dialing back the amount of time he has to spend in Wrangell because we have such good staff at the medical center. He feels that he doesn't need to be here so much, so that's going to be a cost saving. So I think that whole exercise has proven itself out, and it's good news, I think.
Of course, we went to Southeast Conference, Julie and I, and had a ton of bad news. But the good news is it's not going to probably happen much this year. So, I mean, we're going to take some cuts. Next year we'll be falling off a cliff, but we won't bring that up for a while. So we'll need to start looking at different revenue, different cuts, and all of this is probably going to be a long work in progress. So we'll just have to buckle down and contend with it.
Well, on that note, I mean, the message is definitely bleak in Juneau. I think the bleakest part of it is the political situation, you know, the political games that are played. I mean, it's quite surprising, actually, how positive the governor remains. Basically his message is, you know, we have a cash flow problem and we have the assets to fix it. We just need the political will to do it. And we've put together a plan that we are trying to be equitable. The plan's in pencil, not in pen. So if people want to change it, go ahead. But the only thing that's unacceptable is no action. So I don't know if it's completely a foregone conclusion that they will take no action. I think it is an uphill battle because it's an election year and the politics are playing out. But I mean, personally, I am encouraging people I talk to, legislators and such, to take action. I think they have to hear it from constituents that it's okay to implement some taxes as long as they're reasonable. It's okay to use a portion of the permanent fund earnings. It's okay to take action, and people aren't gonna, you know, hang them up in the hang them out to dry, basically. I know people don't like those ideas. No one does. It's everyone, man, woman, and child, is gonna feel the effects of however this is solved. And it will be solved at some point. Either we'll hit the cliff and fall off and it'll be solved and it'll be extremely painful, or it'll be less painful over time. And there's so much information out there that I hope people, if there's anyone listening, they can go to the governor's webpage, they can go to Rasmussen Foundation, they can go to, there's another one that's like a AlaskaBudget.com or something like that. There's with lots of information. And people can try, there's a group called Plan for Alaska, and they have, you know, a budget that you can put together the solution. You can plug and chug the numbers. That's being funded by Rasmussen Foundation because, you know, they have a $600 million endowment fund, and they've put into the infrastructure of Alaska $300 million in the last 40-some years. And they feel like the situation right now is putting all that capital of theirs at risk because people won't have money to maintain it, to use it, and things like that. So they're concerned enough that they're doing this public education campaign, basically trying to get information to the public, doing surveys, presentations, stuff like that, and then communicating the information back to the legislature. So anyway, there's some doom and gloom, but hopefully there's a ray of hope at the end. And also I wanted to kind of tag on to that, some of the big issues that Southeast Conference is particularly paying attention to is the ferry system. These bills that, like the governor's bill called SB 128, which would deal with permanent fund earnings and how to kind of change how that is structured. Senator Lisa McGuire also has a bill that's somewhat similar but different, called SB 114, and there's going to be a hearing on those tomorrow if people are interested in testifying. The flip side of this coin is when budget cuts come, there also might be opportunities for private businesses to step up and fill those areas. For instance, you know, ferry transportation, even services on the ferry, or things like we were talking on the school budget, you know, whether it's transportation or whatever. But I mean, there can be opportunities. So that's it from me.
Thank you. Anyone else have anything? Next. Excuse me. 10B, appointment to fill the vacancies on various city boards, committees, and commissions. We have one unexpired term until 2017, October 2017, on the Planning and Zoning Commission. Economic Development Committee is an unexpired term until October 2018. The Nolan Museum and Civic Center Board has two vacancies. That both of them are on expired terms until October 2018. Do we have any letters of interest on those? Also, appointment to fill a vacancy on the Wrangell Medical Center and Hospital Board. unexpired term ending October 2016. No letter of interest on that either. Next item is item 11, persons to be heard. This is the opportunity for any member of the audience to speak on an item that is on the agenda. When the agenda item comes up, you will not have the opportunity to speak on it unless the assembly has specific questions regarding the item. In other words, if you want to speak now or forever hold your peace. Item 12, unfinished business. Proposed ordinance number 915. An ordinance of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Warrenco, Alaska, amending section 3.04.035, absence from meetings, and section 3.05.050, teleconferencing of the Warrenco Municipal Code. This is a second reading.
I move to adopt ordinance number 915.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Prasanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Howe?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13, new business. 13A, proposed resolution number 03-16-1340. A resolution of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, opposing Senate Bill 198 and urging the Alaska Legislature and Walker Administration to analyze cumulative impacts prior to imposing new taxes on the seafood industry. This was requested by Assembly Member Decker.
Move to adopt resolutions number 03-16-1340.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion on this item? Yes.
So I requested this be put on the agenda. This mirrors a resolution passed by Southeast Conference. There have been many other organizations across the state also passed something similar. The primary issue is in the first, now therefore be it resolved, which says specifically we specifically oppose the 12.5% royalty proposed through Senate Bill 198. So what's been proposed by one of the senators is to treat seafood more like oil. In other words, oil has a number of taxes, production taxes, royalty taxes, and so they have proposed to add a 12.5% royalty on seafood, which basically is a gross tax right off the top. We currently pay 3% raw fish taxes, and then I've had Kim pass out a sheet. Basically, it lists all the different types of taxes the seafood industry pays across the state. But 12.5% in addition to the 3% is just like it's craziness. I mean, it's such a huge increase. It's a relative increase of over 500%. So it's something that would be extremely harmful to the seafood industry. There's many years we don't have 12.5% profits. And so I'm telling you, for small boat operators, that's the truth. So anyway, that's basically what the resolution is kind of taking a shot at. And if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Well, my question is, that is that tax not passed on now to end consumer? Or do you guys just pay? So basically, the boats pay that offloading the fish to the state. And then so you could be working at a net loss. That's not passed down to the consumer at all.
You couldn't ever be working at net loss on that fish ticket. So in other words, when you go to a processor and you deliver your fish, they get tell you whatever, it's going to be 50 cents a pound, we're paying for your fish, 12.5% of that would go to the state. On top of the 3% that already does go to the state. And on top of salmon enhancement taxes of 3% that already go to the state. So that would just go away. And so what you take home is 12.5% less. And I'm saying once you pay your fuel, pay your crew, pay your insurance, pay your boat payment, permit payment, yada yada, that would be a huge squeeze.
Further? Paul, please.
Assembly members Blake?
Yes.
Prasanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13B, approval of a budget amendment to the clerk's budget. We just passed ordinance that allows certain provisions for teleconferencing. And the existing phone system we have is not very well, does not work very well. So if with the passage of that, is it recommended that purchase a new teleconferencing phone?
Move to approve a budget amendment in the amount of $950 to the clerk's budget for the purchase of Polycom teleconference phone with the funds to come from general reserves.
Second.
Been moved to second. Any discussion? Full vote, please.
Assembly members Prasanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13C, approval of the senior tax exemption that was received after the March 1st deadline, but before the late filing grace period.
Move to approve the 2016 senior tax exemption for Charles Meisner Sr. that was received after the deadline March 1st, but before the allowed grace period.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Full vote, please.
Assembly members Rooney?
Yes.
Decker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Prasanka?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13D, approval to cancel the May 10th, 2016 regular assembly meeting.
Move to approve canceling the regular scheduled assembly meeting of May 10th, 2016 and having only one regular assembly meeting on May 24th, 2016.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
I just have one question. And when we're in our like budget period, does that affect that at all?
No, we'll probably still schedule a workshop, not on that day. The day before.
Okay.
The day before we have the Board of Equalization, and that usually just lasts, you know, a couple minutes. And then after that, we'll have some kind of a workshop. And so we'll have a couple of those probably, and then there'll be some, you know, at least one or maybe two public hearings on the budget. And so we'll still have plenty of time to do that. And we won't take any action. The earliest we would take any action would be the last meeting in May and or the first meeting in June.
I'd just like to read a little bit about why that the purpose in canceling that meeting. The city was contacted by Constable Doug Spencer with the Canadian Mounted Police. They wanted to come to Wrangell on May 10th to perform a headstone dedication ceremony for one of the mounted police that perished on the Stikine River back in 1901. That person was buried here somewhere in Wrangell. Haven't located his grave, but they wanted to put this constable to rest and wanted to have a little ceremony, and since it would conflict basically with the assembly meeting, that was the purpose.
Just, Mr. Mayor, just a couple more things on that. Kim and I have met the folks from there, and they're going to be here in early April. So to kind of go over things, we're assisting them in doing the ceremony, and this one person, he's never been kind of officially closed off their role, and he's the only one that isn't from ever. And so it's something important to them, and we're assisting them in doing this. And the reason, again, they are going to, I think the ceremony is going to be about 3 o'clock? 2 or 3?
I believe it's 2.
And then they're going to have a period of time here that I think they probably want to, you know, they might talk to people and do some sightseeing and whatever, but they'll be around town. So anything we can do, we're trying to assist them in anything we can help with. So, but I think it's kind of a neat thing to do, and they'll be down here in their uniforms, which are cool, and so. Steve's stoked.
I've been in the cars a couple of times.
Back seat or front seat?
Back seat.
Maybe these guys know you. I don't know.
Maybe that's not really the reason they're coming.
I'll be out of town that day.
You have your green card?
That's right.
Any further discussion on this item?
Oh, Assemblymember Stecker?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Prasanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13E, approval of a purchase of 4 switches for lighting. I'm going to laugh at this.
Here's $2.
Four lights.
Is that what it was? Did I do something wrong?
No.
No, just the item was
okay.
Approval of a purchase of 4 switches for the light department without competitive bidding.
Move to approve the purchase of 4 14,400 volt, 3-phase, 600 amp manual model PMH13 outdoor primary switches from SNC Electric Company without competitive bidding as allowed under Wrangell Municipal Code 5.10.050B with funds to come from the Light Department's budget and SEPA.
Second.
We're moved in second. Any discussion?
And this is roughly about $64,000. Instead of light switch costs, so and I can tell you, Clay did a fair amount of research, and if you want him up here to answer anything, he's here. But to try to find kind of exactly what we were wanting, and most of the other ones are more complicated, fancier, and they're more money. So these were ones that I think they researched, and this is coming right from the company. So there really isn't anywhere else. Anywhere else they'd get, it'd be the same price or more. So, anyway, that's where we're at.
Anything further? I'll vote, please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
Mitchell?
Yes.
Blake?
Yes.
Prasanka?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
Stecker?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13F, consideration to reduce the number of members on the Wrangell Medical Center Board from 9 to 7 and to restructure the terms based on the recommendation of the Wrangell Medical